Greetings, my friends, and welcome to the Paula Gordon Show, Conversations with People at the Leading Edge. I'm Paula. What's the most powerful force in America? Entertainment, says our guest Neil Gabler. This highly respected cultural observer says entertainment is everything. He wrote a biography of Walt Disney because Disney's the colossus of American popular culture, Mr. Gabler says. Understand Walt Disney and you understand America. Mr. Gabler's no Pollyanna. In addition to feisty animations and furry dancing creatures, he also considers Disney's dark side, a lifelong obsession to control the audience. Before his death, Disney had a troubling real-life community on the drawing boards. He called it Epcot.
Interesting thing about Walt Disney, a case of arrested development, but Walt Disney really, because of Roy Disney, was able to live within his imagination in a way that almost no one else in American business is able to do. At the end of his life, after he's dead, one of his collaborators goes to Roy, Walt's brother, and says, we've really got to build Epcot as a memorial to Walt. This is what everything was headed toward in Walt's life. And Roy said, Walt's dead.
Neil Gabler's works address the heart and soul of American popular culture. He's the first biographer to have full access to Disney's archives in writing Walt Disney, The Triumph of the American Imagination. Other critically acclaimed books Mr. Gabler's written include Winchell, Gossip, Power, and The Culture of Celebrity, An Empire of Their Own, How the Jews Invented Hollywood, and Life, the Movie. Mr. Gabler is a senior fellow at the Norman Lear Center for the Study of Entertainment and Society at the University of Southern California. Bill Russell and I share Mr. Gabler's fascination with popular culture, and we were sure we were about to enjoy a very entertaining conversation. Neil Gabler, as I was reading Walt Disney, I try real hard to, as I read, to look away as well as to look back, because I do a lot of reading, and so my keep the eyes, muscles from just atrophying. So I kept looking away and then back to Walt Disney, and you had many pages that I could enjoy. And my eye kept catching an image that we have in the living room where I usually read that is the very famous Picasso of the young woman in the mirror, which is credited with being sort of the first time in Western culture that we begin to really see the subconscious, that Picasso really brought the subconscious during a time when Freud was starting to kick in and stuff. Well, I kept thinking as I read Walt Disney, Neil Gabler is telling me about the subconscious of this country in ways that I don't think most of us think about. Did that lead you to this monumental work on
Absolutely.
Walt Disney? Absolutely.
First of all, let me say something about Picasso and Disney, if I may, because I've said in other contexts, you know, the two great visual imaginations of the 20th century, in my estimation, were Picasso and Walt Disney. And you can trace almost all of 20th century art from these two traditions, if one wants to call them that. Obviously, Picasso creating a whole large thrust of American and world art, and Walt Disney being really the kind of progenitor of pop art. And yet there are hundreds of books on Picasso, and there are very few biographies of Walt Disney, and no fully annotated, full-scale biography of Walt Disney until I wrote my book.
So that was one of the.
Well, I count for it in two ways. One is that the Walt Disney Studio was very loath to give anyone access, and I was very fortunate to gain access to the studio. So that's, I think, one impediment. But the other is, and this tells us something about American culture generally, I think that most serious biographers were loath to deal with a subject like Walt Disney. Walt Disney is a figure of the popular culture. You cannot win a Pulitzer Prize writing a biography of a figure of the popular culture. There has never been a Pulitzer awarded.
Is that right?
Yes. I mean, you write about artists, fine artists. You write about statesmen. You write about civil rights leaders. You write about presidents. But you can't write about a Walt Disney and expect to win the big prizes. So I think that most serious biographers steer themselves away from dealing with subjects like Walt Disney. Now, that's a long detour from the question you asked.
No, not at all.
But the question you asked to me is relevant to what I just said, because I have taken it sort of as my own personal mission This sounds self-aggrandizing, but nevertheless, to deal with those figures.
If you don't self-aggrandize, who will?
Yes, well, that's true.
To deal
with those figures who are architects of the American consciousness, those people who shape the way we think about the world.
And those the way figures, the world thinks about us.
About us. Oh, exactly. I mean, it's certainly reciprocal. And those figures are more likely than not to be figures of the popular culture. So my first book, An Empire of Their Own, How the Jews Invented Hollywood, is the story of that first generation of Hollywood moguls. And in understanding that story, the men who created Hollywood, we understand a great deal about ourselves. You know, the irony of that book is, and I say this in the introduction of that book, you know, here are a group of Eastern European Jewish immigrants who come to the United States and create an America out of their own imaginations, which then comes to define America for everyone.
And it's not even close.
No. I mean, everyone thinks of America in terms of Hollywood and Hollywood images and Hollywood values and Hollywood characters.
You know, it's interesting you say that because that's more or less exactly what Hugh Masekela said when he came to this country. Mm-hmm. He said, jazz, the music he was playing, we saw America as the homeland.
Mm-hmm. Out of South Africa.
Yes. You know, as a kid growing up in South Africa and, you know, where this all started, but he came to this country because this was the homeland. Mm. And I think, you know, what you're doing with popular culture, like everything else, we tend to be stupid about it. and if we don't understand these roots and how challenged in some ways these roots are and how tortured in some ways the process of getting, and now the metaphors are trashed. Mm-hmm. But if we don't understand that, we don't understand ourselves.
Exactly.
We don't understand where we live.
That's what I want to do. And my book on Walter Winchell was, you know, looking at the roots of modern American journalism and our obsession with celebrity. And my third book, which is called Life the Movie, How Entertainment Conquered Reality, is a kind of book-length essay to examine the forces that I regard as the most significant forces in American culture in the 20th century, which is the force of entertainment, and the way in which entertainment changes everything. The single most powerful force, more powerful than politics or religion.
Absolutely.
Or economics. You know, entertainment is that thing that converts everything from politics to religion to education to you name it. And of course, in dealing with Walt Disney, I'm dealing with maybe the man who was the colossus of American popular culture. So understand him, understand us. That's the way I look at it.
This is Neil Gabler, and he's qualified to say these things. It is our great pleasure to have Neil Gabler with us here on The Paula Gordon Show. We trust you'll be with us when I, Paula, Bill Russell, and Neil Gabler return.